The important people are in the house, the others can arrive late. Those that are needed are here, so we can start. So doing the last presentation for today, the NHFC, I see someone is waiting and ready there to present. Let's get to it, and then you will do the normal by starting by introducing yourself, and then we can then get to it. So if there's anything that the department wants to say, they will say at the end when we look around it.
Thank you very much. Honorable Portfolio Committee members, we thank the opportunity for presenting the 2016-2017 annual report of the NHFC. With me, I've got my CFO, Zonia Adams, and my executive lending, Lawrence Lehabe. Now, they said I must be the one who just opens, then they will take over. So, Chair, the way things work out today, it's amazing that according to the program, we're the last anyway. So we had booked our flight later. Mm. However, we were on a 7 o'clock flight this morning, and we're supposed to have been here 9:30 because we wanted to sit through the session. Mm. Our flight was 2 hours delayed, and that's why we actually got here at about 11:30. So it doesn't matter what we did, we're the last.
Meant to be the last, so you couldn't even have the advantage. Yeah.
Chair, just briefly, I think we'll say also at the end, that maybe this would be the last that we present, as three of us, and I appreciate my colleagues who have been hard at work. But I think we'll capture that when we do the latter part of the update. Just to recap, Chair, we're set up about 1 year after NHFC. NHFC was 95 and NHFC 96 together with VARF. And as a DFI, which is 100% owned by government. And we're capitalized at the time with about 390 million. And today our assets are about 3.3 billion, and we've got those liabilities. And we were set up as a self-sustaining entity, which meant we're not an annual allocation line item. And on that basis, we had an opportunity to get a credit rating so that we can go to market and raise funding. We're rated locally, and we were exploring opportunities to rate outside our borders, but I think with the view of the HSDB, I think that has just fallen through. I think what is key is really to the mandate of the NHFC is to broaden and to deepen access to affordable housing to the low and the middle income household. I think we've defined those in terms of income bands, but I think broadly it's low to middle income. And also we are national in terms of our geographic spread. And at the moment the company, we're about 54, but when you include our subsidiary, we're 71. That's why it's 71 as a group. I think what is key is we've defined what we meant by low to middle income, which is 1,500 to 1,500, and we are supporting those households who are able to contribute from their income to their housing needs, and therefore that's why every rent we lend out, we ensure that it gets repaid so that we can sustain the operations of the NHFC. Chair, I wouldn't go through these strategic objectives because all these are changing. They're in the phase of changing. I think what is key, though, which is still, I think, also relevant for the HSDB, is that of being innovative and providing housing finance solutions. In this case, it will be human settlement solutions to the low to middle income households. This is the market which, to some extent, that is served by the banks, but not fully. And there are some unmet needs, and I think as a development finance institution or development bank, then we need to be playing as the lead player in catalyzing that to happen. In terms of our business model, earlier I think in the discussions that we had, our business model is both dealing with the demand side, which is the household side, but the supply side as well, which is the delivery of housing. And so it's an application of the implementation of this model to try and deal with how we can deliver, especially both ownership and for rental, but at the same time in the inner cities from the supply side, but as well as trying to catalyze households to be able to qualify for that. And I think these are the instruments that we use to do that. And in fact, even thinking going forward, there will be variation of both approaches, because it's not helping us just to deal with the demand or the supply side alone, but you need to bring a linkage between the two, especially if we want to deliver affordability, we want to deliver scale, and we want to deliver sustainability. Through you, Chair, how we create value as NHFC, our dealings are across the housing value chain, starting with someone who earns 1,500, who does not necessarily qualify, or in fact does not even have the capacity to be able to buy a house. In that case, that person can only build their homes on an incremental basis. While Ralph, which is what Jabulani presented earlier, is in the rural areas, we're doing the urban areas, but exactly the same. Because we deal through intermediaries, there are a lot of people who are at that income bracket. In fact, more than 47% of our population is in that income bracket between 3.5 and 1.5. And therefore, they need instruments to be able to meet their housing needs. And therefore, these build their houses on an incremental basis. So we start from that low level income, and then as we graduate on the income band, then we have people who are between 3.5 and 7.5. I saw earlier in the FFC, they said 4,000 to 9,000 to say those people's needs are not met. But in the true sense of the word, actually government is meeting those needs. There's social housing that comes in squarely in that, which is meant to assist people who earn between 3.5 and 7.5 to meet their housing needs. They cannot own, and they earn a little bit more than just below 1.5, but now they are able to participate in social housing, in which government, I think, across the country and through its provinces is delivering that. So that becomes part of the rental. And the SHRA gives about 70 to 75% grant, and we top up that with 30 to 25%. But also, Chair, we also finance private rental. These are people who earn more than, let's say, 7,500 to 15,000. These are people who may not, for some reasons, deciding to want to rent, and therefore they can afford their rental without any subsidy. A lot of inner city rental development, we've been, I think, the pioneers of inner city rental housing financing in the country. Actually, over the years, we've built confidence in that market, that banks are beginning, only now trying to come in. Nedbank is the only bank at the moment financing, especially the inner city part. But the inner city, I can say to the committee, through our thrust, we've been now able to expand it. It used to be just in Gauteng, localized in Johannesburg. But now we've gone to KZN, in Durban, in PE, and also the new beginnings are in Cape Town, and we're just looking at Bloemfontein through one of our subsidiaries, TAF, that actually specializes in inner city and private rental housing development. And Chair, we do partnership with private sector, and one of the key ones we can mention to the committee is our partnership with Old Mutual. We set up a company called Housing Investment Partnership, which has delivered up to now about 3,000 housing units and it uses an innovative instrument. It's not a mortgage linked, interest rate linked, it is income linked. That instrument uses someone's income threshold as the qualifying criteria rather than your interest rate linked, which is what a normal mortgage is. And so this is how we create value based on the household's income position, from where they earn less to where they earn high. The higher the income, then the people can qualify for a mortgage. And that's why instruments like FLIP come in, where we work with the bank to try and facilitate ownership up to housing costing up to about 500,000 to 600,000. Now, check cumulatively in terms of our experience since we were formed, since we established, we have disbursed as an HFC directly about 7.4 billion into the affordable housing market. But at the same time, we were able to bring other players, other partners, to disburse about 19 billion still in the affordable housing market. I think one example that I can make to the committee is in the inner city, this just to demonstrate the leveraging of this. NHFC has disbursed about 400 million in the development of inner city, and to that, private sector has come in to put in about 2.1 billion. So always we put less so that we can get a lot of funding coming from the private sector to address things, the demand that is there in the marketplace. And then we've got cumulative housing opportunities that we've created. And in terms of financial performance, I'll ask my CFO to actually deal with this part and the performance part. Sonia.
Sure, this just gives a Thank you. This picture just gives the cumulative over the last 3 years. The committee might remember that last year we reported a deficit. We're pleased to report that this year we are reporting an 83 million profit before tax at group level and 51 at company level. Further down in the presentation, we do unpack the financial results. Thank you. The other three graphs basically deals with the housing opportunities. We report cumulative housing opportunities. Also to note that these are audited, so what we report has been audited. Cumulatively up until 2017, it comes to 514,000. And again, our programs, there is a slide later that deals with the makeup of that. As the CEO has indicated, one of our programs that continues to yield success is this leveraging through our strategic partnerships. So over and above the funds that we put out every year, we, in addition to that, we leverage, and our cumulative leveraging as of 2017 was 19 billion. The next slide just deals with our reach. Again, we are wholesale, so some of these are through our partners and the intermediaries to which we provide our funding, the projects that we provide funding into. The next slide deals with our corporate governance, how we're supported by our board as well as the executive committee. Detail is provided within the annual report. And the next slide, we try to give a sense of our risk universe. So together with the board of directors, we have the board risk committee, board credit and investment, and the audit committee, who together with various management committees create this almost combined risk universe to ensure that our risk as well as our governance structures are in place. We try to give a sense of our people. As we said, currently at head office, we're 54, together with our subsidiaries, another 23. So currently 71. And only also to give a sense of the composition, male versus female, as well as a split across African, Indian, colored, and other. Chair, that takes us to our performance in 2016-17.
thank you, members of the committee. I will take you through the highlights. As indicated in the presentation, the corporation's focus was twofold, and we call this business unusual, meaning that there's an expectation for the corporation to deliver on its targets, as agreed with the national department. At the same time, there's a consolidation process, as the other two entities have outlined. So our focus has been split into those two key deliverables. In terms of the highlights, we indicate that we've created 36,153 housing opportunities, which benefited over 130,000 beneficiaries. We track in all our investments, meaning whatever we are financing, what jobs are being created through our financing activities, and we indicate that we facilitated 8,802. As indicated earlier, 1.6 billion rand has been mobilized into the sector, and some of the highlights include the fact that the company is liquid, so it has cash to do its business, and the company has managed its costs to bring them at the level of 43% of income. We achieve our impact through others. We don't work alone. So we indicate that we make markets, but we work with banks, real estate investment trusts, you know, and the objective of these partnerships is obviously to deliver affordable housing. Then we also indicate that in our operations, we do experience challenges. As highlighted earlier, the economy is not doing that well. And we, of course, as development finance institutions, do not necessarily have an excuse. We see ourselves as operating anti-cyclical, meaning that when it gets tough, we have to get going. And I think we are highlighting that those conditions do impact us in a way. The quality of our pipeline has been a little bit weak, our project as well. And then the CFO has indicated that in the previous year we had a deficit which arose because we had our loans were not performing that well. This year that has been turned around. So CFO, you'll talk to the outcomes of the audit.
Thank you, Chair. We've included the slide on the audit outcomes. We are pleased to perform that we, again this year, no issues around the audit. The audit opinion on the financial statements were unqualified. On our predetermined objectives, no material findings on the usefulness as well as the reliability of the reported information, and no instance of material issues of non-compliance with regard to laws and regulations. The next slide is a high level of our business performance. The detail is provided on page 22 of the annual financial statement. When we look at the estimated number of housing opportunities, we achieved 56, and this is across two programs against the budget, so the target was exceeded. And similarly, the beneficiaries benefiting from these opportunities as well, the target was exceeded. Given some of the economic challenges as well as, you know, leading on from the previous slide, when we look at the value of funds that we've disbursed and the approvals, we came around at about 61%. However, with the funds leveraged, we achieved our financial impact because that target again was also exceeded. Much of this is through these strategic partnerships that we have, that as Mr. Moraba has explained, if we put in X amount, you know, they leverage more than double that to achieve this 1.6 billion that we put into the economy last year. That then translated to the number of jobs facilitated, which was 8,802, again exceeding the target. However, given that we lagged behind some of our disbursements, in particular of our private clients, we were below our target towards the broader BEE entrepreneurs of 217 against a budget of 376. Chair, the next slide is just to give the committee a sense of the commitments we made in terms of our five-year target, the MTSF. And the slide really to demonstrate that in most programs we are either on target or ahead of target. So at this point we are projecting to meet the targets that we committed to in terms of our five-year strategic plan. As you can see on the right, we should have been at 58, we're currently at 60% for social housing. Private rental, again, we should have been at 58, we're currently on 90%. And for affordable housing, again, far exceeding it, and we tried to explain that much of this was through the leverage contribution with some of our strategic partnerships. That's the reason why we're ahead. How this is translating to the financial performance, we are reporting a surplus of 83 million against a budget of 5. Much of the big variance was due to investment income that was ahead of target. And as we reported earlier, we're quite proud to say that our cost-to-income ratio was at 43%. So there were significant savings in operating expenses, also contributing to our bottom line. During the course of the financial year, and in preparation for the DFI consolidation, we went through all the processes to become tax-exempt. We are pleased to confirm that that went through Parliament, and in January we became a tax exempt entity with effect from this the previous financial, the year that we're reporting on, from the 1st of March. So as a result of that, we had to reverse some of the deferred tax that we previously accrued, but even considering that, we are still pleased to report a surplus of 45 million. If we look at our balance sheet, during the year we did have some early settlements. Again, we say we don't see it as negative, because when they settle us, they go to the bank, it means we've been crowding in the bank. So if you look at our loan assets, although it's muted at 1%, if you consider the early settlements, it would have been 8%. We've also received a capital injection of 100 million from the shareholder, which we were pleased. So that has helped our total assets, so we've grown by 4%. And in line with our strategic plan, our financial, no new loans, so these are decreasing, hence we can see the decrease in that. Overall, very liquid and quite a good asset base of 3.2 billion, positioning the entity for the future consolidated DFI as well as the Human Settlement Bank. Thank you.
Chair, just to sum up on the DFI, we have made some significant milestones during 2016-2017. Zwena mentioned the issue of tax exempt, because NHFC had to be in that stage to be able to receive both Nature and Ralph to be donated to it. We are aware that in November 2016, Minister did restructure the board of NHFC to include members from Ralph and Nature. So the board is now an expanded board, and we have put in place a management committee that comprises of members from NHFC, Nature and Ralph, that is operational. And we can also confirm, Chair, that all three entities are now under the single roof at the NHFC. We have been able to find accommodation, and it makes life easier for us, because no longer like talking there and there, we're all in the same building. So the portfolio committee is also welcome to visit the precursor to the HSDB in the same building. And also we had the hurdle to cross around the company tribunal getting a special exemption to let the transaction go through. That has happened. Now two things, Chair, are remaining which we had hoped we would have received by now, especially by the 30th of September, which is the 30th of September is critical for us because it's half year for each entity. And would like at this time, when we do our interim audits, actually use those as take-on balances to a single balance sheet. Now, two matters are outstanding which we are following through. One is two lenders, one from the NHFC side, one from RAL. They've not given us their in-principle approval. So we had four lenders, one from Nature, two NHFC, one RAL. Two have said, yes, go ahead with the consolidation. The other two, we are still awaiting the outcome of those. We're following through. One is DBSA, which is busy with the due diligence, legal due diligence. Yeah, and then thereafter they'll present the matter to their board. The other one is European Investment Bank. They kept on saying they will come back to you. We're still taking things to head office, but we're waiting for that. So we're waiting for that decision once we get that approval. And then the second one is obtaining the PFMA approval from National Treasury. The minister, the department through the minister, they have written to the Minister of Finance. The matter is being processed as we speak. And I think a submission is before, I think, the DG of National Treasury. So we are waiting for that outcome, which will allow fulfill the condition precedence of the donation agreement so that NHFC can now take staff, assets, and all liabilities of Nature and RAL into its balance sheet. So once those two activities take place, then we'll be a single entity. And then that becomes then a precursor then to the HSDB. Chair, I would, operational integration, we're continuing to align our management and governing practices. I can assure the chair that on the HR side, as an example, we have reviewed the policies of the three entities, and what we have done, we said, no employee is going to be worse off in the consolidated entity than they were in their previous entity. So we've ensured that is the case. And therefore, in reviewing the policies, we have adopted best practice. Whatever is best in the three entities, we've picked it on to make sure that it continues. And so what we are just waiting for is just that effective date which will bring the consummation of this transaction. And we're having an assistance of a change management service provider who's helping every one of us who's involved in this change, and they will be with us even after maybe end of this year, just to make sure that people transition in a way that does not harm their new place where they are at compared to where they come from. Chair, I would like to stop here maybe and just say to the committee that our business has never been about brick and mortar and plumbing, but it has always been about people and citizens of this country. And therefore, I think as we work on the consolidation, we can see a greater opportunity for us for serving our people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. NHFC for that presentation. Let me allow members to comment without doing any prior Honorable Memendo, Honorable Sobi, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Once more to appreciate the presentation, even more this good work, which is exemplary to many in our government, even across outside the Human Settlement Department. Now, the issue of unqualified audit with no issues. we really appreciate it, because it comes with hard work, discipline. So we appreciate it's not going without us noticing. So we hope the department is really learning from yourselves, because you see, in South Africa, we have so many government departments and entities that must learn from these entities. So we are proud of you. So I think, Chair, in some of your speeches, we must boast a little bit about these men and women heading our entities. Because there are some people who think entities are just a way of looting money. They see us as looters. Eh? So before 1994, we were seen as a regular school, a command, who were just seen as the people that must be jailed. Now we're in government, we're seen as looters, even by people who were architects of looting. And they are now telling us, when we have changed the plight of the poor in front of their eyes. So we appreciate all those words, are words of appreciating your work. Don't despair when they call you looters. So we can't have one person making a mistake and then you got blamed, you know, all of us. So we are very, very clean. You see, we are as clean as our president. So we appreciate yourself. So one point that we must also appreciate. Remember, we have laws in this country. People must not think they are laws on themselves. They look at me, they say, I'm a demon. They think I will agree that I'm a demon. No, it doesn't work that way. There's a court of law that must decide, not individuals. So we are all things. And
this is...
Yeah, so NFHC is very clean, you see? So we are, it's part of us. It's part of the proof that we are clean. We are giving proof. It's not the only one. We have been having a number of them. You see, so I think we must just make people realize, you see, that we are not as bad as they want us to look, to appear as. So, also congratulate them to be, because for you to be exempted from tax, it means you work hard, you presented yourself, you convinced them, you proved that you know how to argue in a manner that you within the laws of the country. So we must appreciate it, because that's hard work. It doesn't just come, you see. So if you are not appreciating, we'll be forgetting. So even this thing of people are failing to meet target, but you meet your target and even go a little bit ahead, which means you have a vision. You see? So we are proud of you. You see? So good things must be appreciated. So you said you are now in one house, in one home. You even extend invitation to the members of the portfolio to conduct an oversight before the bank starts working. So I hope, sir, you are noting this invitation from the future bank, so that we grace the corridors of that building and do oversight before we are actually not expected to be mingling with them. So we also happy to hear that employees from all entities are not going to be worse off from the position they were in the previous. So we hope there's no big situation anyway. You know, homes are different. Other homes sometimes they bring others who are a little bit better situation. But I hope you will find a way towards as you move, that indeed they become. You don't see that this one is from informal settlement, this one is from a better. But I know when you amalgamate these entities, that difference is there.
This one is from the rural.
So that is always visible. So in life you can see who is from where. But as the time goes on, the first commitment, no one would be worse off than he was in that rural home. But in terms as we grow up, the children should be now of the same now. We should no longer see who Ubutufagas was from where.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable Baha, all 33 of the children must be uniform. Nobody must look from rural or whatever. Honorable Solimalas.
The disadvantage of speaking out, Honorable Memezi, he has covered everything, but the advantage is that everybody is awake because he galvanizes them. But on a serious note, I think my own comment is that this is a prime example of an institution that works administratively up to financial management. I think it's one of the shining examples of where good work is in place. And I think the sentiment from our side is just that as it's incorporated into the new institutional bank, that work continues in the same light. And it's not, you know, hamstrung by the corporation with the others. And that, yeah, you know, they often say save the last for best, and I think, you know, this was a typical example of that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think to finalize, you can't go and put tea when you want to speak.
Actually, we are not going to use it. We're going to use it. We're going to
use it.
Thanks, I thought the other member would take some time. I didn't comment earlier on any entity because I waited for this time to comment after all three have presented the one that has been consolidated to at DFI. And let me just say that it is appreciated that all three entities have been able to get an unqualified audit, although Nature has received with a finding. But really, we want to see that this should be the unqualified or no findings audit should be the trend for the DFI that is coming into place. And we are happy today for all three of you. None of you have reported that the employees are unhappy, because that's the one thing that you have been preaching and emphasizing, that we want to see a smooth transition to the FDI. Nobody must be left out, and that the board is now inclusive. And that really gives a comfort to us. I hope at the board level, there is a good working relationship. As we are saying, we haven't received any negative report today of the relationship among the management, top management, young management, and the rest of the staff that is under yourself. The bank that was launched by the minister, unfortunately I was unable to attend due to the work of the house as being deployed as one of the chief whips. So, but I'm happy that the bank has been launched, and we're hoping that you'll be able to overcome all the obstacles that you need to go through in order to be fully operational. I just want to get one clarity that I understood when you talk about the legal due diligence around the BSA, but the treasury, when you refer to awaiting for PMFMA approval. I think I didn't get that one very clear. If I could just get a more clarity. And the service provider that deals with the change of management transition for all three entities is really a good move. And I think most organizations sometimes they don't take that move. And you just amalgamate. I remember when the local municipalities were amalgamated to Metro. I don't think that this was really, you think you can do it among yourselves and you can master it, whereas the outside person is always a good to more acceptable when it's done by neutral body. And I really congratulate us, hoping that you'll be able to receive those approvals that you are waiting for. And good luck, and keep up the good work, and good luck to the future. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah.
Thank you
very much. Just one, can you not disturb the meeting just because you finished it? The meeting is not finished. We're still fighting. Thank you, Honorable Baha and Honorable Tabash. I think the one point that for me I just wanted to comment on it is that in your presentation you spoke about your funding of the inner city funding. I'm just lifting that up because yesterday when they were presented, they actually spoke about the IP that that is outstanding between themselves and HDA around the inner city revitalization. I think I'm raising the point that so that as these different entities are doing certain work on one thing, there is actually synergy on the work that is being done so that we are able to pick it up and see the good work. So that no one does the work and somebody does it, but there is no linkage of that work at some point. I thought it's important that I just lift up that it's a good thing, and it's everything that we want in terms of that inner city, but I just thought it's important to raise it. And one area that, the last one, is everybody has congratulated you, the three entities that are being consolidated and the good work that is being done there. But I think it's important that the minister launched this bank in July after the budget vote. Let's be told now, ultimately, when is this consolidation being finalized. I think once we are all happy with the progress so far, can we be given a projected timeline that at least when do we envisage that this work will be concluded without putting anybody under pressure. That's to have a sense. Thank you very much.
Chair, the department is here. let me speak just operationally. Chair, when I alluded to the two Thank you, Chair. When I alluded to the two outstanding conditions, which is the two funders and the PFMA approval, which are imminent, both of them, because work is in place to make that to happen. When those go through, then all conditions pertaining to the consolidation of NatureHealth and NHFC to a single entity would have been fulfilled. So thereafter, there will be an establishment of a single entity, which entity then will require for it to move to the bank. The next step is then a business case about the bank and an enabling legislation, which actually is a parliamentary process, that must underpin it, which will actually result in the creation of the HSDB. I think the one part, the operational one, we are at work at that. That one is imminent. And the other part, I think best place, maybe I can ask the department maybe to assist us in that regard.
Chair, the approach is that it's a two-stage process. The amalgamation Mr. Morava talked to. Then we are at a stage where the business case is in the final stage of preparation, as well as the drafting of the bill. Needless to say, Chairperson, the bill would need to run its course, go to cabinet, be published, and all of those things. Seated here, Madam Chair, it's a bit difficult to give a firm timeline, given the processing issues. I know the committee is not sympathetic to targets that are partially met, but if I say we have a business case, we have a business case. It must still be subjected to scrutiny by other structures outside of the department. Similarly, the draft legislation is subject to those processes. So, yeah, it's partially done. Once those supra processes are concluded, it will then come back to the committee. I'm talking now the bill. It's a little difficult, Chairperson, to give a firm timeline in that regard. What we are doing, we want to get all of these outside of the department process so that they go into the space. In fact, let me confirm, Chairperson, the Treasury and the Mincombat, the budget process, has confirmed that the capitalization of the bank in itself is agreed in principle, and the quantum we can talk about. What they are waiting for is this legislation, the so-called enabling legislation. So a lot hangs on this enabling legislation, but we are of the view that the interim operational arrangement, as in the consolidated entity, should be able to, in any case in the interim, serve what the bank would eventually service. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me not comment. It's a good response. We will then interact with the process and others and as we move forward. And I think we would want to appreciate the progress made thus far. It's not an easy process that you have undertaken, but I think you've done fairly well in your circumstances. And I think we do take up your invite. It's going to be important for us. You've been reporting to us that everything is smooth, the staff is fairly okay. Maybe it's about time that we go to the ground and be able to hear from ourselves. So that invitation will be taken up. Obviously, we will not tell you when, but we will implement that invitation. Well, thank you very much. That takes us to the end of the web today. We left with three entities tomorrow, not very easy entities. The three of them. But I just want to ask the department that they must not look at the time that we've given them. They must just arrive on time. Because we might run faster if you look at what we've done today. So, and we might even delay lunch, depending on how fast so that we finish everything before we break for lunch. So that we don't have anybody coming after lunch. So it's going to be just important that they just arrive in time tomorrow. But we then take it later. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
It won't make sense to those that are under 30.
We'll give you our pleasure now, Lawrence, so that you can leave. We'll give you our pleasure with your pleasure. So that you can leave.
Go by the office.
Okay. Okay, Mama.